So this morning, I actually should not have been here this morning. I should have been on the couch not feeling very well. We went to a conference yesterday and got back, and we defrosted these burgers, and it was like high-end meat and all that, you know, the Wagyu stuff from these like really high-end like cattle people. And we ate our burgers last night, and then I was like, man, I'm not feeling good. And then I went to bed, and I woke up at like 4 a.m. just like not feeling good. And like, you know, the point of not feeling good where Meredith woke up and she like started praying over me. I was like not feeling good. I eventually fell back asleep. My alarm went off. I lay there for a long time. I was feeling really horrible. God, I was like, I gotta get up and pray. So I went out the living room and I was sitting there praying, and I just like laid down. I was like, oh man, I don't know if you've ever been hit by a car. I haven't, but if I got hit by a car, I felt like there was like a 1,000-pound like wet blanket on me. I was so dizzy, I felt like I was gonna pass out. Like, I was feeling horrible this morning. And I was like, man, I'm supposed to leave in like an hour and you know, be out here. And so Emery was there with me. I was like, hey, can you go get mommy and have her come pray for me? So Meredith comes over, she gets on her knees, and she puts her hands on me, and she starts praying in Jesus' name, in his authority and power. And as she's doing that, I'm opening my heart, believing as she's praying that God is going to raise me up. And as she was praying, she says this one word in the midst of everything. She says the word, go. And right when I heard the word, go, I also felt and heard Jesus' voice on that word. And I know mood immediately is connected with go and make disciples, right? That's what we're doing today. And I also knew he said, get off the couch and go. And so right after she finished praying, I was like, okay, Lord, I got up, I started walking, and I was instantly healed. It was crazy. Like, I was like, the stomach issue was gone, my body was better, I was functioning, and I was not able to even walk like a couple minutes prior to that. And so it's all Jesus, right? So Meredith prayed in faith. I believed he was gonna do it. I heard him speak in it, and I was like, I gotta take action based on what I heard him say. He said, go, so I better get up and go. And now I'm standing here before you. And so I share that today because, man, Jesus has authority and he has power, and he gives it to us as his disciples to live out the gospel. So when sickness and stuff gets in our way, and I don't know if it was a burger, if it was spiritual, right? The devil just saying, hey, we weren't trying to mess you up and trip you up so you can't be here this morning. Whatever the source was, it doesn't matter, because Jesus is king and he has authority over spiritual and over natural, and he gives us the power to live out the gospel. So I want to share with you this morning that happened. And Jesus did that with me this morning. So I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. It's only two verses today. It's going to be verses 1 and 2. So if you want to take a read with that, if you don't have a paper Bible, we can grab one for you. It looks like everyone has one. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And if you're like, I don't know where that's at in the Bible, at the front of your Bible, there's an index, and you can find it there, the page number, and it'll start there. The big numbers are chapters, the little numbers are verses. And so Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And as you read that, now you can ask yourself two questions. What am I learning about Jesus? And what am I learning about humanity? What am I learning about people? So simple two questions. What am I learning about Jesus? And what am I learning about humanity? So take about a minute or two to read those two verses. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. So a short section of scripture, yet super packed. There's so much here about who Jesus is and what he does with his people, his disciples, his church. The context for this, I'll give you a little bit what happened right prior to this. Jesus was on a boat crossing a lake. This huge storm comes up. And you know what he does? He simply tells it to stop. And you know what happened? The storm stopped. So Jesus had authority over creation to the point where he could tell creation what to do, and it listens to him. The second thing that happened right after that was there's this woman who had a bleeding issue for several years. I think it was about 12 years. And she was so desperate. She's like, if I can get close enough to Jesus just to touch the edge of his robe, I know I'll be healed. And so she had to work her way through the crowd. You know what she did? She got close enough to Jesus and touched him. Bam. Instantly healed. Kind of like what happened to me this morning. Instantly healed. So Jesus has the authority to heal people. And it kind of got worse after that, because this guy had come to him and saying, hey, come heal my daughter. And then when that woman got healed, it kind of stalled everything up. in between when that happened, when they got to the daughter, she'd actually died. So the daughter was fully dead, 100% dead. You know what Jesus did? He went to her and he told her to get up, and she raised from the dead. So Jesus has authority over creation. He has authority over sickness and disease, and he has authority over death. And if you believe in Jesus, this is your God. He has authority over all these things. So if you translate that to your life, imagine what Jesus has authority over your life. And because you're in him, imagine what you have authority over in your life. Because remember this, Jesus is simply a model of how we're supposed to live our life. So if Jesus walks it out, he has the same Holy Spirit that he's given you if you believe in him. And you can live a life just like Jesus did, and our life should look like him. So if you read verse 1 here, it says, "One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases." So imagine this. You're hanging out with Jesus. He's got his 12 disciples. And he's like, "All right, guys, come over here. We're going to do a group huddle." So he gets them in a huddle and gets in the huddle. He pulls them closer. He's like, "All right, you. He names all of them. He says, "I'm giving you authority and I'm giving you power. You go out, you're going to go tell people about me, you're going to preach the kingdom of God, and you're going to cast demons out of people, and you're going to heal every disease." Can you imagine if you're there and like Jesus told you that? What would be your reaction? Would you be like, okay, I got this, I could do it. Or would you be like, what? Like, what am I supposed to do? You're giving me this authority and this power to do it, and I'm supposed to go cast demons out of people and heal people and tell people about you? But this is what he did. Jesus called a group huddle, and he gave it to them. And as you read through the story, guess what they did? They went out, and they did it in the authority of Jesus. So Jesus gives them power, and the Greek word for that is dunamis. You know where that word comes from? Dynamite. So anyone ever lit dynamite in your life before? Or any M80s here? M100s growing up? Yeah, a few people, right? You put a bunch of those together, you like tape them up, and then you light them. They're kind of like a little dynamite. But the idea is that the power that you have in you by the Holy Spirit is the dunamis power. It's the dynamite power that's explosive, that when you pray, there's a spiritual explosion that takes place. So this gives you the ability or to have the power. In Acts 1:8, which we've talked about before, it says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and the purpose is to be a witness for Jesus." And so the power you have as a follower of Jesus actually comes from the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So Jesus gave them power, and he gave them authority. So authority is the right. So you have the right to be able to do this. Think of jurisdiction, that it's lawful or it's permitted. So Jesus says, you can do this. And if Jesus gives you permission to do it, guess what you can do? Exactly what he said you could do. So this authority comes from your identity in Jesus. So if you've chosen to believe in Jesus, he died for your sins, he rose from the dead, you are born again, and you become a son of the Heavenly Father or a daughter of the Heavenly Father. Your identity is transformed. You're transformed from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light. And when that happens instantly, the authority of Jesus and his power comes to reside in you. Now, how many of you know that you have the authority of Jesus living inside of you? How many of you know that you have his power? So you can literally read the scriptures, and everything that Jesus did, you can actually go walk and live it out. And I'll tell you this too. Yesterday it was supposed to rain this morning. We were at a conference, a bunch of us, and we gathered to pray about the rain, that it would not be raining over our park. And when I got here this morning, there were blue skies over our park. If you look on the hill, it's raining around us over there, but not here. And so the authority that we have in Jesus, when we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we believe that God will do what he says he's going to do in the scriptures, Jesus responds to our faith. Just like this morning when I heard Jesus say, "Go," I had to get up and do something, right? He responded to my faith, and he healed me and made me whole. So when you're thinking about authority, think about it like this. You got law enforcement, and you got gangs. So you got law enforcement, and you got gangs. So law enforcement has the authority, so the legal right, and they also have the power to back it up. Gangs don't have a legal right, but they have power, right? They have power and influence. So in the same way, you as the church, us as the church, we have the legal authority, the legal right, and the power and Satan's dominion, right, the dominion of darkness, they don't have the authority, because Jesus in Matthew 20 says he has all authority in heaven and on earth, but they have power, right? And so Jesus says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, that nothing will harm you. That's Luke chapter 10, if you read that in there. So I hope you're beginning to catch on who you are in Jesus and the authority and power he gives you when you pray, that when you pray, heaven moves, earth is changed, and hell is displaced. That's what happens. So he says, I give you authority and power to cast out all demons. So this is all the spiritual darkness that comes against your life. You actually have authority over it. It doesn't rule over you anymore because you're in Jesus, and Jesus is king. He's raised from the dead. He's conquered death. He is the one who's victorious. And he says to heal every disease. So this is the natural stuff. If you have an issue with your body, this is the stuff that Jesus can heal. So if it's not in alignment with how God has designed your body, Jesus can actually heal your body. So you can pray for yourself to be healed. You can pray for others to be healed. People can pray for you to be healed. This is the biblical norm that we see. So if you're like, man, that's a lot of authority and a lot of power, like, I carry that? What's the purpose of me having this? Main purpose is to demonstrate the kingdom of God. So when you go out and you pray for people, you know, whether it's they need healing or they need financial provision, or they're, you know, they got an issue going on just with personal stuff, you pray for them, they're super encouraged afterward. That is the kingdom of God coming into their life through your prayers. It also displaces darkness. So in the beginning, when God created all the earth, you know, made Adam and Eve, you know, said to Adam, he says, I give you authority over the whole earth. Take over, subdue it, multiply it, grow it. And then when Satan came along and tempted Eve and she ate the fruit and gave it to Adam, do you know what Adam did in that very moment? This is where everything got messed up. He actually gave all the authority that God had given him, he gave that authority to Satan. So Satan actually took the authority of the entire earth. So Jesus is so important when he came, because you know what he did? He lived a life fully human, like Adam, and fully God, and he never sinned. Because you remember in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4, it says Satan shows him all the kingdoms of the earth. He says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you authority over all of them. Jesus didn't say you don't have the authority. Jesus knew Satan had the authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to worship the Lord and serve him only. And when Jesus died at the cross, he rose from the dead. Do you know he got back all the authority? So he actually took from Satan what was given to him by Adam. Jesus took all the authority. That's why in Matthew 28, he can say, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. So that means that he's given you the same authority that he carries, he has actually given you to live out in your life. Now think about how spiritual our culture has become. Our culture is super spiritual. Did any of y'all watch the Disney Star Wars, The Acolyte? Anyone? No? No? Okay. I'm going to run with it anyways. No hands. However, if you watch it, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend, Meredith didn't like it, but I wanted to finish it out because I was very curious. So basically, beginning to end, Acolyte is filled with witches and witchcraft. They have a full-on coven in there and everything. And it's becoming part of our normal culture that people practice witchcraft, that covens. A coven is a group of witches, kind of like us, we're a church like this, we gather as Christians. Witches gather together and they're called covens. They actually gather and do their thing. Like we worship Jesus, they get together and they worship Satan and they do their thing. So The Acolyte, a mainstream Disney show filled with witchcraft beginning to end, practicing spells, doing their coven stuff. I took my son Andrew to the Huntington Library this past week, and there's a gift shop there. You know, they have all these plushies and things, little stuffies, we're looking around. Tons of cool stuff in there. Come to this one section, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool, like thick paper, you can like draw on it and everything. That's a keep in mind for Emery. I get around to the full table, that table and that paper is all witchcraft paraphernalia. They had all these books about witches, how to cast spells, tarot cards. It was literally like, they probably had at least 100 items on being a witch. And there were people there like picking it up and buying it. And I was like, whoa, right here at the Huntington Library, they have a whole spread of like 100 items of witchcraft that has become mainstream culture that people are buying and practicing. And when you get out to the farmer's market with us to do seed sowing at some point, there are tables there full of crystals. those crystals are all New Age, which is witchcraft. And people come, I talk to them, and, oh yeah, people come to buy the crystals for their witchcraft practices. So this stuff is all normal. Like, this has been normalized in our culture. This is how darkness has infiltrated. So if you're like, all right, Jared, what does the kingdom of God look like demonstrated in practical life? I'll give you a couple examples, since we just talked about some of the spiritual darkness. I don't know if you have kids or if this has happened to you, but sometimes our kids have these nightmares. And it's the scary things that show up. You know, they look real scary, they're real dark, and all. And they talk to our kids, and what's it look like? And we pray with them, and then it goes away, and they feel a lot better afterwards. So it's so interesting. Sometimes my kids will wake up, and they'll have these nightmares. Right when I walk in the room, I can feel something scary in that room, something real dark. And then we pray with our kids, and we command it to leave. And with my kids too, I pray with them. I teach them to pray against the scary darkness that comes to give them nightmares so that it'll leave. And I can guarantee you that most nightmares are actually spiritual darkness coming into your dreams. And we're talking about like covens gathering. Full moons is when the covens, the witches, is when they gather. We gather on Sunday morning to worship Jesus. They gather around full moons. There's someone who's not connected with our church, but my friend, his wife was a nurse. She was a nurse for many years. And she told him, and we were talking, that every full moon, all of her patients would start acting really weird. Like, she saw this month after month after month. Okay, there's a nurse over here shaking her head. The full moons, you know why everyone's starting to act really weird? It's because the covens are gathering to do their witchcraft and releasing that stuff, and it affects people, and it affects dreams. And that's when we see it hit our house sometimes, is when that those dreams come, but we've learned to cover our house in prayer. That stuff doesn't really touch us anymore. Also, think about this. Just as Christmas is to Christians, Halloween is to witches. So just like we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Jesus. All the witches and all those people of darkness, they actually gather on Halloween. That's their Christmas. That's why they do all that stuff, and it feels darker on those days. So when we pray with our kids, we displace darkness, and it leaves, and it stops harassing our kids. Another one for you. I was at a different church in the past, and we were outside for a service, actually kind of like this, but it was for church service event, and started raining. And I said, "Let's pray and let's ask God to stop the rain." And different people said, "We're going to go get pop-ups," and they started running away. But one person stayed with me. He's like, "Let's pray." So we did. We just prayed in Jesus' name. We commanded the rain to stop. And you know what happened? The rain stopped. And then I left, and he texted me afterwards. He's like, "Hey, after we wrapped up, it started raining." And so we took authority over the weather in the name of Jesus, because it was hindering what God wanted to do with the church service. Another one for you. What does it look like to demonstrate the kingdom of God as we go make disciples? I was at the Starbucks over here in Azusa by APU working on something. And this guy was walking up into Starbucks with a limp. He was limping like this. And so I felt like I was supposed to go pray for him. So after he came in to go to the bathroom, and I ran out and said, "Hey man, I see you had a limp. What happened?" He said, "Oh, I had an injury when I was younger and my leg didn't grow right or whatever." And I said, "Hey, if I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus, I'm a Christian, Jesus will heal your leg." And he's like, "Other people will pray for me." And I got really bold. I said, "Well, obviously their prayers haven't worked for you. But I said, if I pray for you right now, Jesus will heal you." And he gave me this look, and he said, "Okay." So he sat down with me, because his leg was shorter than the other. So he sat down in a chair, popped his back on the chair, and held out his legs. You could see his leg was probably like a quarter inch shorter than the other leg. And I simply said, "Leg, in the name of Jesus, grow." And it grew right out, and he was like, "Whoa." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, that's Jesus. He loves you, and he heals you because he loves you." So this is the kingdom of God demonstrated just normal life. We see in the scriptures, right? Jesus said, "Cast out demons." He said, "Heal people." This is normal things that Jesus did, and this is what it looks like for us to demonstrate that here on the earth. So you have to ask the question, okay, Jared, like, if Jesus gives me authority and power, how do I actually, like, do it? Like, how do I grow in it? This is what I've learned over the years. Man, you just got to believe. You have to believe what Jesus says is true. You have to believe what is in the Word is true. Like, when Meredith prayed for me this morning, if I wouldn't have believed, go, and that I wouldn't have gotten up, I'd have been like, all right, Jaime, you're preaching. This is where I text you, like, Jaime, you're preaching, right? But I got up and I believed. So you have to believe that when you pray, Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do. Because if you read the Gospels, so many people are healed when Jesus says, your faith has made you well. It's because they believed what Jesus said he was going to do. And this is all rooted in the cross. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, by your wounds he was healed. And it talks about in Revelation, Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. So he's conquered everything. So at the cross, Jesus releases everything you need for healing and wholeness, not only in your life, but in the lives of everybody that you love, that you pray for. So it's all rooted what Jesus did at the cross. You notice what the disciples did? Is they huddled around Jesus, and then he gave them authority and power. So they got close to Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll see his authority and his power grow in you. And then find others who are living it out, and hang out with them and see what God does. I've also found that you got to spiritually condition, right? You can't just like show up to a football game, or these guys over here are like really good at basketball. If JR and I, a couple, are going to challenge them, like, they might beat us, but probably not, right? But if we show up without practicing, our chances, unless we pray, like, are probably not going to be very good. So you have to spiritually condition. You have to prepare yourself. So when you hit the field, when you're at Starbucks and you feel led to pray for someone, that you're ready to go. And so that's why we talk about fasting and praying a lot. Richie had mentioned it. Why we talk about reading your scriptures every day is because those are times when you actually spiritually condition and Jesus transforms you from the inside out. And one of the biggest things is you got to take action. You got to be obedient to God's word, what you see in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in daily life. You got to step out in obedience, and God will respond to your obedience and to your faith. So this is the biggest thing. Catch this. Jesus has given you, if you believe in him, that he died for your sins and he rose from the dead, Jesus has given you authority and he's given you power. And he says this to you. He says, use it. He says, use it. So if you have a credit card with this huge limit that someone else is paying off for you, unless you use that credit card, you will never access what is already there for you. So Jesus says you already have access to his credit card in heaven because he's paid for it through the cross and through the resurrection. You actually have access to his authority and power, and he says use it for his kingdom and his will and his purposes. All right, check out verse 2. It says, then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus gave him authority and power, and then he said, go and actually do it. He said, go do it. So Jesus sends you out with the same authority and power he gave the 12 disciples right there. He's actually given to you. If you notice what the disciples did, if you keep reading, is they actually lived it out. They did it. And as they did it, God responded to their faith and their obedience. So the biggest thing that we do is we believe Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do. And then we take action, and he responds accordingly. So we have to tell people about God's kingdom and demonstrate it. So God, through the Holy Spirit, gives you power, remember the dunamis power, to actually see your prayers answered. So it's not anything you do in terms of, like, you can't make something happen, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's God himself living in you, who's done it. So Jesus has given you authority to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything Jesus has told us, that they would be obedient to him. And this is literally the commandment for every single Christian. We are all called to make disciples. So you have to ask yourself, man, am I making any disciples? But Jesus has given you authority. He's given you the right to do it. He's given you the power by the Holy Spirit to be successful. And so if you're out there and you're trying to apply your authority and your power, and you're like, it's not working. I found in my journey, it's never a problem on the end of Jesus. It's always on my end. And then I have to press in and say, okay, Jesus, I prayed for someone, nothing happened, like I thought it was going to be. Can you show me more? And he'll continue to show you more and help you grow into it. All right, how many of y'all, when you follow Jesus, you feel like the devil is resisting you and he's coming at your life? Anyone feel like that? Yeah, bunch of hands, right? So when you follow Jesus, the devil's going to try and stop you. That's his number one thing. He's going to try and get you to quit. And so James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, So be obedient to Jesus. Do what he says. Give him your life. Allow him to clean you up. And then it says to resist the devil. And then he'll flee. So you have to do it in that order. So you submit yourself to God. You give God your heart and your life. You be obedient to him. And then you resist the devil. And then he has to flee. So the devil has to be resisted. Or he's just going to walk all over you. And he's going to run your life. So if you don't submit to God, if you don't resist the devil, he's going to actually walk all over you and he's going to run your life. But if you resist him, the way that the scriptures say, you will win every time. Every time. Every time. And in Romans 16, it says, the God of peace will soon place Satan under your feet. And last week we talked about when the Romans would conquer a people, what they would do is they would take their foot and the person on the ground and they put it on their neck. That's what this is picturing, is that God is placing Satan under your feet and you're putting your foot on his neck. That means you are a person of victory, that Jesus has done it for you. So please catch this. You are not powerless and you are not a victim. That is not part of your identity in Jesus. You are not powerless and you are not a victim. You are actually a conqueror. That is how God views you. And so if you begin to believe the truth about how God views you, you will begin to live out that of your identity. So Romans 8:37 is where he calls you a conqueror. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with, and I've wrestled with as I wrote this down. Does your life direct you? Does your life direct you? Or do you direct your life in obedience to the Holy Spirit? So which way is the water flowing in your life? Are you just basically caught in a torrent that is just throwing you down life and you just feel like life is bouncing you around and taking control over you? Or are you on top of that water in a kayak, you know, with your helmet and your life vest and your paddles, and you're actually navigating all of it? Because life will either direct you or you direct your life in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Man, years ago, life used to direct me. And it was rough. I thought like I was just getting bounced around like a pinball in a pinball machine. But then I began to learn more about what Jesus says in the scriptures, what he has done, what he says about me, what he says about you. And now, when I live my life, I stand firm in Jesus. Stuff hits my life. And sometimes people think, oh, pastors, they're like way up there and they do all this stuff. No, I'm down in the trenches like the normal person of life. Like, life happens. However, life does not determine what I do anymore. Because I choose to be obedient to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit with what he says to do, and he determines my life and where I'm supposed to go. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hit or knocked down, but it means that Jesus is the one in control, and he's going to direct your life rather than your life directing you or Satan directing your life, because Jesus is king. So that was just two verses right there. He's given you the authority and the power, and he says, go live it out. He says he's already given it to you. So you're like, oh, if I have to do all these things to get it. He says, no, you have it. You just have to believe that you have it. You have to believe the scriptures, believe what Jesus says, and then go and live it out in your life. And as you believe it, you're going to get resistance. Say, oh, no, you don't have it. Oh, no, like, you're not good enough. Or like, oh, remember that sin you did last week? Shame, condemnation all over you. And you're like, oh, man. You're like, no. Jesus has given it to me. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I am a daughter of the King. I am a son of the King. I am in Jesus Christ, covered by his blood. And when that gets in you and that becomes part of who you are, dude, no demon can ever stop you. Like, you will be victorious in Jesus every time. You'll be transformed. Your family will be transformed. Because if you got stuff going on in your family, you feel like it's directing your life. When you get on your knees and you begin to pray in the authority of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll actually see your family transform. You'll see your workplace transform. You'll see your life transform. So what I'm trying to communicate from the Word is, man, y'all are so powerful in Jesus. He's given you so much, and he simply says, use it for his kingdom, his wills, and his purposes. It might not happen in the moment, like that second, but Jesus says in Luke 18:1, he tells a parable that you'll pray and you'll never give up. You'll pray and never give up. Remember, you only lose if you give up. But if you keep believing and standing firm, God will come through for you. So based upon what you've learned in the scriptures today, I just want you to take a moment to reflect and be like, all right, what am I going to do this week in response to the scriptures? Like, what goal do I want to set? What do I want to do in response to it? So take a moment to write that down for you. You can put it in your phone. You can write it down in your notebook there. But based upon what Jesus has said in the Word here, what do you want to do in response to that? So take 2 minutes, write that down. And if you want to share that with the person next to you, feel free to do that as well. One more thing comes to mind I want to share with you. If you are a current parent or if you plan to have kids in the future, this is really important to understand in terms of how authority works in the kingdom of God. You have authority over your kids. You have spiritual authority over kids. So in a way, you are like the covering. So if it was raining right now, we're under this big covering. Like, in a way, you are an umbrella for your kids spiritually. And so you can pray over your kids, and you determine what has access spiritually to their life and what does not have access to their life. So, like, oftentimes I'll pray out loud over my kids, I'll pray in my head. And I pray out loud specifically because, remember, the enemy, they can't read your thoughts, but they can hear your voice. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus always spoke the word of God out loud to Satan in that he didn't think it, he said it, right? So when you have kids or you want to have kids in the future, when you pray over your kids out loud, it actually affects what has access and what does not have access to their life. So when you pray over your kids, protection and things like that, so specifically, I pray a guard around my kids' mind and their thoughts, their eyes, their ears, their mouth, their nose, their hands, their feet, their bodies, their private parts, their wills, their emotions, their thinking. I pray through their whole being and ask that God puts a guard around every part of them. Because they're going to be exposed to stuff, right? But if God is guarding them, imagine this. It's like when you pray, it's like an invisible wall is placed around your kids in that way. And you can pray that over other people too. So know that the prayers you pray, they make a huge difference. And it really transforms people's lives. And imagine if you didn't pray. Like, what will happen? So I just want to encourage you all, as you pray in that authority and power, it actually makes a significant difference spiritually. So as we're going to live this out, what I want to do is I want to pray over us as a church, that the Holy Spirit would simply activate you and give you understanding of the scriptures so that you can live it out. So all I do is I pray, but you receive from Jesus. He's the one who does all of this. Anything that you see ever happen, it's Him. It's always Him. So you can open your hearts, your hands. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to activate that in you. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that through Jesus, He's given us authority and power to live it out and to demonstrate the kingdom of God, to tell people about Jesus, the good news of who He is and what He's done. And man, that we can have your blessing over our families, over our kids and grandkids and the generations to come through us, and over our workplaces, over where we live in our physical homes, over our rooms, even our beds. So Jesus, I ask right now that you would activate your authority and your power in every believer here right now. And Jesus, that you would give them the faith to believe your word. And what you say, you will do. And Jesus, I pray that you give them the boldness and the courage to step out and to see what you'll do in response to our faith. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you activate everyone here and that you'd give them the determination to not give up, but to continue to press on and press through until the fruit of this is a normal reality for them. That as they go, they see the kingdom of God demonstrated in dunamis power in the authority of Jesus. I declare this activation over you in Jesus' name. And if you're here today and you're hearing a lot about Jesus and you're like, hey, I've never chosen to believe in Jesus before, but I really want to do that today. Jesus is amazing because we have a huge problem with God. Like we have this huge rift between us and we can't get to God because we have what's called sin in our lives. So sin is like when we wrong God, it's a rift we can never cross, we can never get to. There's nothing that could fill it. We can't put enough of our own works or efforts in that big rift to fill it where we can walk across. And that's why Jesus is so important, is because when he came to this earth, he was fully God and he was fully human. and he lived a life like we did, but he never sinned. He never wronged God. So that when he chose to go to the cross, he said, okay, Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to take on the sin of the whole world. I don't want to take all this suffering, but I'll do it because you asked me to do it. So Jesus went to the cross for you, for anyone that believes in him. He says, Jesus, I choose to believe in you. I choose to believe that you died for my sins. I choose to believe that you rose from the dead, conquering death, so I can have eternal life. And I want that salvation. I want that relationship with you. So what that means is you turn from going your own way, living your own life, doing what you want to do, and you turn the other way, 180, and you say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to live life your way, doing what you want me to do according to your word and is led by your spirit. This means that Jesus becomes your Lord. Man, that means you no longer control your life, but Jesus is the one who controls your life. He becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sin. He saves you from going to hell, being separated from God for eternity, so you can have a new life in him, in heaven, in the new earth. And then one of the best things is he becomes your best friend. You get to know him like you know your best friend or your spouse or someone that you really care about. Like, you get that level of relationship with the living God of the universe where you can hear his voice and you know his love for you and he does life with you. So if you're here today and you've never done that before and you're like, man, I want Jesus today, I just want to invite you to raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to believe he rose from the dead. If that's you, you can raise your hand today and we'll lead you in that prayer so you can start that relationship with him. And if you're like, man, I want to raise my hand right now, but Jared, I want to talk to you after. And we find someone with a green name badge. We'd love to talk with you. We'll have a couple people over here ready to pray with you if you have any prayer needs as well. We really believe Jesus answers prayer. We see it all the time. It's pretty amazing. So let me do this. Let me invite you to stand. And JR in Georgia and come up here and lead us in a closing chorus. And then I will pray over us as a community. And right, let me ask Jesus to bless you as we finish our time. So Jesus, I ask that you would bless every person here. Bless them with your hope. Bless them with your encouragement. Bless them with the encounter of your love to know how much you love them. And Jesus, fill them with boldness as they go out the rest of this week until we meet next week, that there will be people in their path you will place there. Give them the boldness to start that conversation, to ask them that question, to tell them a word of encouragement. Say, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, has anyone ever told you about the love of God for you? Let me tell you what he's done for me. But Jesus, give everyone boldness and courage here. Jesus, I ask that you give everybody wisdom as they navigate work dynamics, school dynamics, and relationship dynamics. Give them the wisdom to be able to navigate those successfully and to have your perfect will come into those situations. Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here. Thank you, Jesus, that they are under your blood. Thank you that you put your shield of protection around them. And I ask that you would assign a legion of angels to each person here for your purposes of your kingdom and the gospel and your will for their lives. Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.